For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me with you for one more hour. Steve Stone will join me at 8:20 to talk some baseball. I'll be on the afternoon show tomorrow with Mark Rohde. And speaking of the afternoon show, Matt Spiegel in the afternoon show will be live from Rally House in Wrigleyville next Thursday afternoon, September 5th from 2 until 6. Stop by, enter for the chance to win prizes, and shop the best team gear selection in Chicago. Join 670 The Score at Rally House in Wrigleyville next Thursday from 2 to 6 p.m. or shop 10 Chicago area Rally House locations and online at rallyhouse.com. Again, Steve Stone will be here at 8:20 to talk some baseball. Want to keep talking Bears with you at 312-644-6767. That's the number for the Score listener line, which is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. I'm sure most Bears fans have heard by now that they don't have the strongest of schedules based on their opponents' win percentages last year. And that's not always like the strongest barometer of how strong your schedule will be, because the NFL is the most topsy-turvy league in all of professional sports. Every year we see a team jump up two or three spots in the standings and surprise folks and have a much better win-loss percentage than they had the previous year. But based on last year, the Bears, and again, you've probably heard this, have the third weakest strength of schedule in the entire NFL behind the Falcons and the Saints. The Bears' opponents had a win percentage of 467 last year. But like I said, not always the greatest barometer of how strong your schedule is. Today I came across what is maybe a better barometer of how strong or weak the Bears' schedule is. And it comes courtesy of The Athletic, who Mike Sando, every year he does these quarterback tiers. Robbie, I see you shaking your head. Yes. Are you aware? I love the I look forward to the Mike Sando quarterback tiers article every year. I don't know about you.
No, I read the same thing that you've read. I love The Athletic's work. Mike Sando, he's a G.
Amazing. He was with ESPN previously. They were dumb enough to let him go. The Athletic was smart enough to scoop him up, and he kept doing this quarterback tiers thing where they survey executives and coaches in the league and put quarterbacks into one of four tiers. And always immediately following that, on the heels of that, The Athletic very wisely puts out a strength of schedule for each team based on quarterback tiers. Because what better indicator of how good a football team is, of how hard to beat a football team is, than their quarterback? The quarterback is the thing in the NFL. I'm not telling anybody anything that they don't know. The quarterback is the thing in the NFL. And if you have one of those dudes, like we're hoping we do here in Chicago, you have a chance to win every week. And if you don't have one of those dudes, you have a good chance of getting your ass kicked every week. And looking at the Bears' strength of schedule based on quarterback, now based on opponents' win-loss record, they had the third weakest schedule in the league. Based on opposing quarterbacks, they have the second weakest schedule in the league. And you might hear that. You might look at that and go, what does that even mean? What are these quarterback tiers? How are they even put into these tiers? Can I count on that? Can I trust that? Let me just read off the names to you of some of the quarterbacks that the Bears will be facing on their 2024 schedule. Now, some good ones. Obviously, you're not going to go 17 weeks and just have a bunch of busters at the quarterback position. There are some good ones. They'll face Matthew Stafford. They'll face C.J. Stroud, Jared Goff twice, Brock Purdy, Jordan Love. All those guys, tier two quarterbacks. They don't face one tier one quarterback. Now, there was only two of them. It was only Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Those were the only tier one quarterbacks. The Bears dodged both of those. They will face no tier one quarterbacks. Those are the tier two quarterbacks they'll face. And like I said, Love and Goff, they'll face twice each. Other than those two guys, they face three quarterbacks in the entire league who even crack tier two. Now listen to this. Other than that, they'll face Trevor Lawrence, who has potential that has not been reached yet, has not been met yet. Kyler Murray, who to this point, again, has not reached or met potential and expectations that he had when he came into the league. And then the rest of these guys are not even guys that had that potential to be great quarterbacks in this league, or nobody ever thought they were. They'll face Geno Smith, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. Well, Jaden Daniels, some people have some hopes for him, obviously. Bryce Young, Sam Darnold twice. You get Sam Darnold twice on the schedule in one season. You get to play Sam Darnold twice. That's a blessing.
Did you say Drake May too? Because he's in there as well.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, they play the Patriots this year as well.
Oh, they have, they put,
Brissett?
Yeah, they put Brissett as the starter. That was the last, worse. That was the last guy I was about to mention. So you will face Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Jaden Daniels, Bryce Young, Sam Darnold twice, and Jacoby Brissett. That's seven quarterbacks. That's seven quarterbacks on your schedule that you have no business losing to. None whatsoever. There are no excuses for this football team at all. Now, yes, they have a rookie quarterback themselves. But if you've heard me on this station in recent hosting spots, I've said I expect growing pains from Caleb Williams, but I also expect this roster that Ryan Poles has put together to be able to pick him up, lift him up, and still keep this team in a position to win football games, even when he has those rookie mistakes and those growing pains. And they better have the coach and the coaching staff that can make the moves, that can make the decisions that will make up for those rookie growing pains and those rookie mistakes and pick him up and lift him up when those times happen. And the second one is more important on this particular point when looking at the quarterbacks that the Bears will face this season. I've said a number of times, one thing that makes me question Matt Eberflus is when I see him, for the defensive mastermind that he is, and he fixed the defense in the second half last year when he took over play calling duties, this dude gets his lunch handed to him frequently when he goes against what I think are like elite offensive minds and play callers. He hasn't beat Matt LaFleur once. And I know the numbers on the scoreboard weren't crazy in week 17 last year for Jordan Love, but when they needed a play to win that game, throughout that game, moments throughout that game where they needed a play to win, Matt LaFleur seemed to know just the right play to dial up, and Jordan Love seemed to know just the right way to execute it. Now, those are two guys that a lot of people will argue are at the top of their game. You get your lunch money taken by Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love, a lot of people might get their lunch money taken by Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love. They do it at a high level, according to people who watch this sport. You go out there next year, and you get your lunch money taken by Will Levis, or Anthony Richardson, or Bryce Young, or Sam Darnold, or Jacoby Brissett? Inexcusable. I don't even need to look and see who are the offensive play callers for those teams just to say, losing to those quarterbacks, if those guys come out and beat you next year, that is inexcusable for the Chicago Bears and especially for Matt Eberflus. If you're a defensive mastermind, if you're the reason that this defense turned things around last year, you can't let Anthony Richardson beat you. You can't. If you're some defensive genius, you beat Sam Darnold twice. If you're a great head coach in this league, there is no way in hell Jacoby Brissett beats you in a football game. That's just not going to happen, man. That is simply not going to happen. There are seven quarterbacks on the schedule that should be guaranteed W's for this Bears football team. The schedule is even easier than I thought it was. And honestly, the three tier three quarterbacks that they got there, Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray, and Geno Smith, you should probably win those too. Based on the teams and the strength of schedule, I said this to, who did we talk to earlier? Paul Pabst. I did the old win-loss, going down the schedule, and I said, there's 10 winnable games there. I say at least the same when I look at the strength of their schedule based on quarterback and not wins and losses. There are literally no excuses for this team to not win 9 or 10 games this year. None. Injuries happen, I know. We'll see what the final product ends up looking like, and I might eat my words. But there's no reason. There are no excuses for this team to not win 9 or 10 games this year. The more I dig into it and the more I look into it. 312-644-6767. Got a couple minutes before Steve Stone joins us. Let's try and squeeze in a call or two. Tom is on 290. Now he's on 670 the score. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, great show, Mari. I was thinking about Reddick, and if polls gave Eberflus Reddick and he didn't win 11 games or 12 games, yeah, shoot him. Goodbye. Trent Williams. The drool's still on my lip thinking about Trent Williams. Reddick, I have a comment and then I have a question, then I'll get out of your way and listen for your answer. Reddick, I don't think anything happens with Reddick before week one. If he's jonesing for his money and he needs a paycheck, then he's going to cave. And if Douglas sees that this dude is actually willing to hold out and skip the first game, then polls call him every hour, right? Mm-hmm. In that scenario. And then the other thing is, and the question is, I don't know cap space, and this is like the dream of dreams, but could we pull off both Williams and Reddick? Do we have enough cap and sign Reddick, obviously, and Williams? Is that possible?
I don't know. I appreciate the call. I couldn't do the cap math for you live on the air. I do know that it would strap you. If you could do it, it would handcuff you. I don't want to do that. I'm not looking to mortgage the whole future in terms of draft picks and in terms of whatever salary cap these guys are going to eat up. I wouldn't do that, but I'd take either one of them.
According to the famous website overthecap.com, mm-hmm. the Chicago Bears right now have about $10.5 million in cap space.
So the cap space is there, and you can always create more cap space. I know some people in this business don't like it when other people in this business say this, but the cap isn't real. It's not a real thing. It's not. There's always...
Yeah, what's money, too? Yeah, they just keep exactly. printing money. Yeah,
especially when it's not my money, you know? And yeah, they just keep printing the stuff. So how much is it really worth? But no, there's always workarounds in the cap. But even if you could, like, it would strap you. It would handcuff you. And also, you're going to sacrifice a lot of assets that could help you in the future in terms of draft picks. So I wouldn't do that, but I'd certainly check on either one of those guys. Had a texter when I was talking about some guys who are or might be available in the previous hour of the show, and someone from the 815 said, how about Micah Parsons? Now that CeeDee Lamb was re-signed, even the Cowboys might run out of money. I'd check on him, but I doubt they're going to let him. You don't let a Micah Parsons walk. You find, like I said, you just find a way within the cap to do it because the cap isn't real. It's not a real thing. There's no way. Jerry Jones is crazy, and he's going to let Dak Prescott get to free agency, apparently. There is no freaking way that you let a Micah Parsons walk or trade, right? There's just no way.
No, that's someone you would secure. And if you didn't, your whole life, you're just watching him be awesome. Like, why did we let him go for nothing?
Yeah, you're going to trade Lawrence Taylor? Like, and I'm not saying he's quite on that level, but you're going to trade Lawrence Taylor?
Like, he could be on that level.
He might be on that. There's no... I might let Dak Prescott walk before I let Micah Parsons walk, right? I know the quarterback... I just said the quarterback is the thing, but... Dude, Micah Parsons is an absolute freak.
He's like the best at his position. Dak Prescott is like 10, 11, 12, yeah, 9,
I would say he's solidly in the top 10.
He's like near the end, but you could find a Dak Prescott. You can't find a Micah Parsons.
You do not find a Micah Parsons. Should I take one more call or should we get to Steve Stone? Let's go to Ryan on the Northwest side. You're on the score. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how are you doing? Yeah, when you were talking about Eberflus and this defense, I think he really, besides that one pass rusher, I think he's got the defense to take that next step. And the way we played in the second half last year, competing with Green Bay and Detroit, I agree with you with some of these quarterbacks we have to face. If we can split with those two teams, I think we have a chance of winning the division.
I appreciate the call. If you split with those two, if you split with Goff and with Love, and you get two wins right there, and then, like I said, seven games against quarterbacks you have no business losing against, that's nine wins on your schedule right there. And all that's left after that is Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray, and Geno Smith. You win two of those? We just had an 11-6 season, ladies and gentlemen. 11-6 by season's end, according to my math. That's pretty good. I will take that. But again, they have no business, none whatsoever. I want Matt Eberflus's head on a platter if they win less than nine games this season, the more that I look into it. Yeah, he has the guys and he has the schedule and the type of opponents that you should be able to stack up wins and be a real legit NFL football team for the first time in a long time here in the great city of Chicago. It's got to happen. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, the legend, the one, the only, color analyst for the Chicago White Sox, Steve Stone, will join me, Rami Makhlouf, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The score.
Ball, two strikes. Just inserted for defensive purposes, just robs Vaughn of a home run. That would have been ball game.
What a catch by Jankowski. He goes up way over the wall. He angles his body so he can get more extension. This is about as good a robbery as we've seen.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me with you till 9 o'clock. Back to some Bears talk to wrap up the show coming up next segment. But joining me now on the Circus Sports Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois, he is the color analyst for the Chicago White Sox. You heard him on the call right there for NBC Sports Chicago. Honor and a pleasure to welcome in Steve Stone. Steve, how are you this evening?
Good, Rami. How are you?
Doing good. And you said it right there in the clip that we played. But just when you think, you know, Sox losses couldn't really sting anymore the way that this season has gone, a catch like that ending a game, I don't know that I've ever seen a catch that good to end a baseball game, Steve.
Well, I'm not sure that it exactly ended it, but it came pretty close. I mean, that was a game ender, and unfortunately, Bruce Bochy decided to make a defensive change. It's not quite as dramatic as the Dwayne Wise defensive change that was made in the perfect game that Mark Burley threw, but the catch, I believe, was better. The circumstances, not quite as dramatic, but the catch itself was better.
Yeah, you don't see a guy catch the ball behind. You see guys jump up and catch the ball before it goes over the fence. It looked to me, Steve, like he reached back behind him and over the fence to catch that thing.
Well, he did, and the great part about the catch, and understand something about baseball, the artistry of our game is on defense. You can tell how athletic these guys are when you look at defensive plays made or not made. And this was just outstanding. And the fact was that had he jumped straight up, he'd have missed it. The ball was probably 3 or 4 feet over the wall. And the only way that he could make the catch was to leap up and then angle his body so that he was able to get as much extension as he possibly could. The ball stuck in the web, and that was it. One of the best catches of the year, certainly.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said to end the game, but it was to save the game and yes. to keep the ball in the park on what would have been a go-ahead home run. I'm not telling you or anybody out there anything they don't know. This team already surpassing 100 losses on the season. I'm a Cubs fan, Steve, and when I talk to Cubs fans on the station and whether or not playoff hopes are still alive, I say whether or not they're alive, plenty to watch for with this baseball team, because a lot of the guys that are here now are going to be there next year and going to play a role for this baseball team moving forward. So watch their progress. If you're not watching and rooting for a playoff berth, watch for their progress. What should Sox fans be watching for right now as far as the big picture of this baseball team?
Well, we haven't gotten to the point where the September call-ups are announced yet, mm-hmm. and we'll see another couple of youngsters being brought up. But what they should watch for is probably the strength of the organization, and that's pitching. Pitching has developed well before the hitting has. Quite obviously, this team is offensively challenged. You're not going to win a whole lot of games in the major league scoring 1, 2, or 3 runs a game, because as good as the pitching can be, it's hard to be that good, especially if you make the occasional mistake on defense. So I think when you look at the organization top to bottom, you look at all the young guys, and we'll obviously see more of them in spring training, but the pitching looks like it's going to be the strong point of this organization. And, you know, we're waiting for Noah Schultz to get here. There's a couple of other guys down there that certainly will make an impact. But just in the major leagues now, I mean, Nick Nastrini today was just outstanding. This was about as good a performance as you're going to see, especially for a guy who was struggling like he was. He came up today, got ahead of hitters, and threw a real solid 6. And we've seen Thorpe throw very well. Now, we have to wait and see what happens with his arm, but I assume that he's going to come back 100%. And at his best, that changeup is really difficult to deal with. So you look at the Jonathan Cannon, you look at some of the young guys and realize that there's some pretty good times ahead from the pitching standpoint. Now the organization just has to make sure that the hitting will catch up to it. And the best way to do that is to take advantage of what we have, and that's you play 81 games in guaranteed rate field. So with 81 games at home, you really can't allow other teams to come in with more power than you have, and we know that's been one of the deficiencies of the Sox this year. They don't have a whole lot of home run hitters, and this is a home run park, especially in the summertime when it gets warm. The ball just shoots out of there. And if you're underpowered, if the other team has more power than you have, it's not an advantage to play at home. Also, there's the fact that the preponderance of pitchers, starters, setup men, and closers, they're right-handed. Yes, you do face lefties, and you're certainly going to face a few of them. But most of the starters, most of the setup men, and most of the closers are right-handed, which would behoove the organization to get some left-handers that are difference makers in that lineup. I know Baltimore is having a terrific year, and certainly when you look at that team, they'll start 7 left-handers against a right-handed starter. That includes a few switch hitters, which is always preferable if you can find them. But I think that's something that the front office is going to work on. And I think that's one of the things. I know Chris Getz is taking a whole lot of heat, but a lot of people, I guess, want him to turn around something that took a long time to get to where they're at. And that is, there was a lot of problems with this team before Chris Getz took over. He took over, and it's going to take a while to get this team out of it. But I think one of the first things he did was augment the front office with some pretty talented evaluators, and we'll see just how good they are going forward. But I think that that's one of the big improvements. And I think given time that things are going to look a whole lot better than they look now, which, as we know, are pretty dismal.
And the other thing Chris Getz did was make a change at the manager position. Now he's wearing the interim tag, but word is that Grady Sizemore is one of the guys being considered to be the full-time manager. What are your early impressions of him?
Well, there's a couple of things that come into play. Number one, being a former player and a very good player at that. You're talking about a multiple all-star. a guy who a couple times played 162 games. We certainly remember Grady Sizemore from his days with Cleveland in their center field.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got this way about him that produces a couple of different things. One is essential. One is important. The essential thing is he has to have the respect of the players. And to a man, the players on this team respect Grady Sizemore. Number two, it would help if they liked him. They don't have to, but it would help if they liked him. And they do both. They respect him and they really like him. And so you look at the results and you say they're not there. Then you look at the team and you realize that they're in just about every game. And then what happens is it's almost like the same script, which is one of the things I said on the broadcast the other night. It is like Groundhog Day. The Sox get off to a decent start. They're certainly battling the other team through five or six and sometimes into the seventh inning. And then eventually the starter leaves, the bullpen comes in, and as we know, there's got to be some work done on reassembling a bullpen because the bullpen has been a trouble spot for the Sox. And again, the script seems to be written just about each and every day. These guys are playing as hard as they can. Unfortunately, they're not getting the job done, and largely the bullpen has given up runs starting in the seventh inning. That usually does in the ball club. And so, you know, there's no mysteries. You watch this team over the course of the year, you realize exactly what's needed, and then the front office is going to figure out how exactly they go about trying to do as much as they possibly can in various areas. You can't fix them all from one season to the next, but you can certainly start and try to patch up some of these holes.
Talking with Steve Stone, color analyst for the Chicago White Sox here on 670 The Score. I'm your host, Rami Makhlouf. As unlikely and as rare as a catch like the one that we saw yesterday against the White Sox was, also as unlikely and rare is the way that the Cubs came back and won yesterday. I said a stat earlier in the show, Steve, 1,192 teams, last 1,192 teams that trailed by seven runs or more in the seventh inning or later went on to lose that game. Have you ever in your time as a player, as a broadcaster, been a part or witnessed a comeback like the one that we saw the Cubs pull off yesterday?
Well, yes, I have. Don't forget, I've been in professional baseball for 55 years. So I would say there's very few things I haven't seen.
Probably.
But I remember one game that the Cubs played against the Astros, and they were down 9-1. And they came back and won that game 10-9. And it was late, it was dramatic, it was fun. And when that happens to your ball club, it gives everybody a lift. So there's a lot of people that felt that some of the changes that weren't made at the trading deadline, that the Cubs might have been saying, you know, this season was over. I never really believed that, because as long as you have hope, as long as you have a chance to get there, you never know how hot your team can get. I mean, we take a look at some teams over the course of 162 games, and they'll have their hottest stretch in the last month of the season. That is open to the Cubs, and we'll see how they do. But I don't think that it's over for them. I think they're going to play as hard as they can. There's a lot of talent on that team. They haven't played together quite as much this year as it was thought they were going to. But I think all in all that they're playing pretty good baseball right now.
Yeah, and I said yesterday when they pulled off that win, and I was here on The Score, Steve, and you just sort of verified it, winning a game like that, there's the old saying in baseball that, you know, your momentum is whoever is on the mound for you the next day. Some folks don't believe in momentum in sports, but especially it seems the sport of baseball, that's more than just one in the win column when you pull one off like that. That's a boost for that whole team, and I think carries over into the following games.
Well, we won't really know until we see exactly what happens, and you'll see series after series. I know things have gone very well for them, but you know, with any baseball team, it doesn't matter which team it is, you get 26 guys together, and when they really hate to lose, when they feel that regardless of what the other team throws against them, they're going to win that game, that's what you're looking for. And, you know, there's still time to get it done. And every team right now that's battling for a playoff spot, and again, if you can get to the dance, you can win everything. Look at the Diamondbacks last year. I mean, history of baseball is loaded with teams that nobody thought could get there. A lot of people thought they were eliminated. As it turned out, they weren't, and they go deep into the playoffs. And every team right now that's in contention is trying to feel the same way. And it certainly helps if you've got a really good closer, it helps if you got a good starting rotation, and it certainly helps if you can hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Yeah, and how hard is it when the Cubs got off to the start that they did, and a lot of people on the outside looking in, like you said, didn't think they had a chance of making the playoffs. How hard is it as a manager and for Craig Counsell to keep everybody pointed in the same direction and keep everybody believing in what your cause is and that you can reach those goals that you set before the season started?
Well, certainly one thing is Craig Counsell has been through it before. He's been through it many times. You're not going to really show him much of anything that he hasn't seen before, and one of the reasons why you made him one of, if not the highest paid managers in the game is because of his acumen, especially late when the game is on the line and the season is on the line. So Cubs got themselves a pretty good manager, and I don't think you're gonna see him panic at any time or not understand what the stakes are in any given day.
That is Steve Stone, color analyst for the Chicago White Sox on NBC Sports Chicago. And I'm glad you verified for me, Steve. I've been saying, I don't know, for weeks now, that my Cubs hopes were hanging by a thread, and I've been teetering between, this season is over, I give up, and, they're actually going to do this thing. And I think I went back and forth between those during just the game yesterday and pulling off what they pulled off against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Should we not rise, even this late in the season, and as precarious as their playoff chances are right now for the Chicago Cubs, is it crazy for me or for those guys in the clubhouse to kind of ride that roller coaster of emotions that comes with the team that is just clawing away and trying to stay in the playoff race? I heard Ian Happ say on The Score that, hey, we can't expect to get sweeps. We can't be disappointed in ourselves when we don't get sweeps. You take two out of three and keep it moving. Is that the mindset you have to keep? Because mathematically you look at it and you go, now, they got to get a few sweeps here if they're going to pull this off.
Well, first of all, you have to realize that doing a White Sox game every day, don't pay a whole lot of attention to
sure.
the Cubs.
Sure.
That's number one. Number two is it doesn't matter what team you are or what situation you're in, but you have to break a difficult situation down to its simplest parts. These guys aren't looking two games ahead or three games ahead. Every baseball team is doing the same thing right now, and that is, you have to win today. Today's the only thing that matters. You don't have yesterday. You certainly don't have tomorrow. The only thing you have is the game that's today. And the best baseball teams are the ones that try to win every inning. They try to have no wasted at-bats. And Pete Rose, when asked about how he was able to assemble as many hits as he did, he said, I never had a wasted at-bat. If I was 4-for-4, I tried to go 5-for-5 in that fifth at-bat. Extreme concentration on every play, every situation, and that's what every team is trying to do. You're breaking a difficult task down to its simplest parts. For a pitcher, it's one pitch at a time. For a hitter, it's the same thing. And you can't think too far ahead. And so we do know one thing. In a short series, anybody can win. Over 162, there usually aren't many miracles. Usually the teams that deserve to get there, get there. Now, we will see if the Cubs deserve to get there. If you notice that they're playing in October, then you know they got there. If they don't, then they'll figure out why it is they didn't and try to improve on it for next year. And the same thing is true with every team that's in contention. And right now, because of the expanded wild card, there's a lot of teams in contention. And they're all bearing down, and they're all giving you everything they have on a daily basis. If they're not, they're going home anyway. And so we'll see as this thing winds along, and this is a great time of year.
Mm-hmm.
These teams are battling to get to the postseason. It's really wildly entertaining. And for those teams that are there and the fandom that's rooting for them, you have to, in my case, be envious because, quite obviously, this has been a lost season as far as the Sox are concerned.
That is Steve Stone, Chicago White Sox color analyst over on NBC Sports Chicago, and obviously a Hall of Famer and a legend in his own right. Steve, appreciate the time and the insight, sir. An honor and a pleasure.
Have a good night and have a good rest of the show.
Appreciate you. There's Steve Stone joining me on the Circus Sports Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. I didn't fanboy out on him, did I, Robbie? I didn't fanboy out.
Not at all. You succeeded.
Conducted myself like a professional broadcaster right there. That's all right. Cool. Good. I just talked to Steve Stone, you guys. That was pretty cool for this guy. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, I have been justified validated, proven correct. I'll tell you about what I'm talking about coming up next right here on 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me. One more segment of this guy, and then it'll be BetMGM tonight, followed by my guy Bart Winkler on the Infinity Sports Radio Network coming up at 10 o'clock. Some of you may know me. You know, you've heard me on The Score every now and then. You're like, yeah, I think I've heard that guy. I think I've heard his name before. I'm not like one of the regular lineup guys, but you're like, yeah, that guy's around every once. I think I know him. I think I remember him. I was the guy with the this might lock it in for you for who exactly I am. I was the guy with what at the time was deemed a terrible take when I said that Josh Allen was Mitch Trubisky 2.0 sitting in on the afternoon show one afternoon a couple of years back with Danny Parkins. And okay, all right. You might be sitting in your car going, wait, you're that same guy who had that terrible, and they put you back on the air? Why do they keep putting you on the air with terrible takes like that? And okay, all right. That might have been a little hyperbolic when I said he was Mitch Trubisky 2.0. Okay, I mean, he's better than Mitch Trubisky. I'll give you that, all right? I will submit to that. But I'll also say that a lot of y'all, including some people who sat in this very chair on 670 The Score, have gone way, way too hard on Josh Allen and him being one of the elite quarterbacks in this league. And if you don't believe me, well, maybe you believe NFL players. Maybe we should take it straight from the horse's mouth. 103 NFL players were surveyed. It was a quarterback survey. They asked him a lot of questions. They asked him, who is the GOAT? And if it's not Mahomes, what does he have to do to get there? Brady won 85 of the votes. Mahomes got 7. Several other players received votes. Ranked the top 3 current quarterbacks. It went Mahomes, Jackson, Burrow. They also had a few other top vote getters, including Josh Allen. Which rookie QB will have the most successful career? You'll be happy to know, Bears fans, that players in the league believe it will be Caleb Williams, but he's not far ahead of Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams got 34 votes. Jaden Daniels got 30. So a lot of believers out there in Jaden Daniels. But then we get to the meaty one. Most overrated quarterback in the league. Now, it's only 11 votes of 103 voters being current NFL players, but he was voted the most overrated quarterback in the entire league by his peers. He got 11 votes. Jalen Hurts got 10. Tua Tagovailoa. Oh, I struggled. Let me try that again. Tua Tagovailoa got 10 votes also. Justin Herbert finished just outside the top 3 with 9 votes as the most overrated quarterback in the league. There was a number in here that blew my mind as it pertains to Josh Allen. And this number disqualifies him, in my eyes, from being a top 5 quarterback. I know he easily makes the list of top 5 quarterbacks for most people when you have this conversation. And I don't have him in my top 5. I have him like on the fringe of my top 10 when talking about Josh Allen. And if you're sitting there in your car going, you're still crazy. You said he was Mitch Trubisky 2.0 2 years ago, and now you're saying he's not even a top 10 quarterback or a fringe top 10 quarterback. Before you drive off the road, this number blew my mind when I saw it in this article at the 4-letter. Since the start of the 2008 season, Allen's 102 turnovers. Did you hear what I just said to you? He's in triple-digit turnovers, ladies and gentlemen. Allen's 102 turnovers lead the NFL since 2008. Of all the people that have come and gone in this league that have played in the NFL since 2008, Josh Allen has more turnovers than any of them. Anybody in 15 years of NFL play, he has more turnovers than any of them. Jared Goff is second with 96. Baker Mayfield is third with 91, according to ESPN stats and info. He's head and shoulders above Baker Mayfield in turnovers, ladies and gentlemen.
He's lapping them.
I know he does a lot of things. What, like, a lot of the things he does are like eye popping. You go, oh my God, how did he just throw that football 60 yards down the field with a flick of his wrist? You go, oh my God, did you see the way he just ran over that defensive back to get the ball into the end zone? It's crazy. Like, some of the stuff he does is crazy, but you're killing your football team when you've turned the ball over more than anybody who's come into this league in the last 15 years. We're not just talking about he's turned the ball over more than every quarterback in the league right now. We're not just saying he's turned the ball over more than any other player in the league right now. He's turned the ball over more than anybody who's played football for 15 years. That's not a top five quarterback. That is simply not a... Am I crazy, Robbie? Does that disqualify him from being a top five quarterback?
I feel like that should play into it, definitely. The more you say it, the more it's unbelievable, the amount of turnovers that he's had. It's unbelievable.
It's wild, dude. It's crazy. And that will prevent you from winning football games. And people, they'll go, he's made two Pro Bowls. He's been to the postseason five times. There was the AFC Championship game where he left the field with the lead with 13 seconds left. And Patrick Mahomes'd him. I get it. I understand that. He does a lot to help his football team win. But man, 102 turnovers, more than anyone who's played in this league for 15 years. That also hurts you and prevents you from winning. And honestly, outside of that game where Patrick Mahomes pulled off the comeback with 13 seconds, he hasn't been a great quarterback in the postseason. He had one great postseason game, and Patrick Mahomes was a little bit better. If that happened to him time and time again, I might give him like the Michael Jordan treatment when you talk about like a Patrick Ewing or a Karl Malone. You just go, well, he was just in the league at the wrong time. No, man, the guy's just a little bit overrated and gives the football to the other team way, way too often. Our thanks to Paul Pabst, executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show. Catch him on the tailgate Saturday, starting this Saturday from 7 to 8 a.m. Scott Baer, Bears insider for the Marquee Sports Network. And Steve Stone, Chicago White Sox color analyst, legend, Hall of Famer. My absolute honor and pleasure to talk to that man. Thanks to you out there for listening and contributing to the show throughout. And of course, thanks to Robbie Triano on the other side of the glass, on the ones and twos, and helping put this whole thing together. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm doing the afternoon show with Mark Grody. Very excited about that. I will talk to you then. I am Rami Makhlouf, right here on the Score Evening Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.